Thomas Bilney left behind many who loved him. Amongst those who would continue for some years was Hugh Latimer. In 1549, he still remembered little Bilney and would not allow others to forget. Not simply the manner of Bilney's death, but also the pattern of his life, and this could not exclude his fall, when Bilney had signed and sworn to cease from preaching, and those difficult years that had followed when he could hardly eat or drink for sorrow. I knew a man myself, Bilney, little Bilney, that blessed martyr of God. What time he had borne his faggot and was come again to Cambridge, had such conflicts within himself that his friends were afraid to let him be alone. They were fain to be with him day and night and comforted him as they could, but no comforts would serve. As for the comfortable places of Scripture, to bring them unto him, it was as though a man would run him through the heart with a sword. Yet afterward, for all this, he was revived and took his death patiently, and died well against the tyrannical see of Rome. Woe will be to that bishop that had examination of him, if he repented not. Here is a good lesson for you, my friends. If ever you come in danger, endurance, in prison for God's quarrel and his sake, as he did for purgatory matters, and put to bear a faggot for preaching the true word of God against pilgrimage and such like matters, I will advise you first and above all things to abjure all your friends, all your friendships. Leave not one unabjured. It is they that shall undo you and not your enemies. It was his very friends that brought Bilney to it. This is not a comfortable message for us, any more than it was in the 16th century. To sacrifice conscience and principle is a temptation in every age, and we too may say that it is for peace, or for our friends, or for our lives. But if any one of those sets us against Jesus Christ, then it must not have power over us. If we place the influence of friendship so highly, then at least let the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ have first place in our hearts, even as Christ held out the hand of friendship to us. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Thomas Bilney did not take for granted that knowledge which changed his life when he was 24 years old and ended it when he was 36. He learnt through bitter experience that all the friends in the world could not compensate for the loss of his Saviour. And while we remember his virtuous life, with all the sorrows on the road, we can see that the prayer of little Bilney, the new convert, was richly answered. O thou who art the truth, give me strength that I may teach it, and convert the ungodly by means of one who has been ungodly himself. But what of Robert Barnes, who last we saw in disgrace and public humiliation? What became of the prior? Although he recanted and paid penance, Barnes was never truly set free. He was released instead into the custody of the Austin Friars in London. They did not like him and soon complained about him to Cardinal Wolsey. So the date was set. After recanting and enduring the humiliation at St. Paul's Cross, Robert Barnes was now to be burned anyway. But in one of those twists that is too incredible for fiction but just sometimes happens in real life, Robert Barnes escaped. Master Horn, the man who had raised Barnes, told him what to do. First, Barnes should feign insanity. Next, he should write a letter to the Cardinal, informing him that he was going to drown himself in the river. This letter should be left by Barnes on his own table to be found when he went missing. Barnes should leave some clothes at the water's edge and send a letter to the mayor, telling him that he had another letter for the Cardinal, but that one was closed in wax and tied around his neck. We do not know whether Barnes carried this plan out to the letter. We do not know if the mayor dredged the riverbed for a letter which wasn't there, but Barnes did go missing and was sought for 7 days, while the prior, dressed as a poor man, was smuggled into London and shipped first to Antwerp and then to Luther.